And now for our next story in the news. If you were paying close attention during the 2000 election, you'll remember that candidate Bush supported white students who sued the University of Michigan because they felt the admissions policies unfairly favored minorities. That case is now before the United States Supreme Court. Yesterday, President Bush said that while he supports the goal of diversity, he's opposed to affirmative action.
So tomorrow my administration will file a brief with the court arguing that the University of Michigan's admissions policies, which award students a significant number of extra points based solely on their race, and establishes numerical targets for incoming minority students, are unconstitutional.
Joining us now from his home in Austin, Texas, is Professor of Government Bruce Buchanan. He specializes in presidential politics and has had a front seat to President Bush as governor. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Good to be with you, Neil.
So what did you make of the president's decision to speak yesterday and his stance?
Well, what I made of it was that the president faced a difficult situation. It's hard for him not to comment on an issue that's this explosive. And the question then, as they've been debating inside the White House for days, is where to come down. And the problem is the administration does not wish to alienate conservatives for whom this is a very important issue, and they wanted the president to come out as he in fact did. On the other hand, the administration knows that its prospects for re-election in 2004 depend heavily on cultivating minority voters who wished that the president would have come down on the other side. And so the choice they faced is who to alienate when, and what they decided was that they'd be better off alienating minority constituencies on the grounds that they have 2 years to recover from that, whereas alienating their conservative supporters would put them in the kind of trouble that Bush the Elder encountered when he sought re-election in 1992.
We're going to continue talking about the president and the politics of race and affirmative action for the next few minutes. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email TOTN@NPR.org. And Professor Buchanan, isn't this case very similar to one that happened there at the University of Texas?
Yes, it is. That would be the Hopwood decision, which ruled in essence that race-based admissions policies were unconstitutional, and so interpreted by the Attorney General in Texas and also by the powers that be in California, which led to an abandonment of affirmative action here in the state, and its replacement by a scheme that President Bush favored at the time, signed into law at the time, and the kind of thing that I suspect he will advocate in coming days when he hears criticism for his administration's position. And that was the 10% policy wherein graduates of Texas high schools who achieved the rank among the top 10% of their graduating class gain automatic admission to the University of Texas and other state universities and colleges. And this had the practical effect of opening prospects for admission to the central campuses from those who graduated from inner-city high schools, thus representing what the president would regard as a race-neutral way to encourage diversity.
And when he was governor of Texas, and again yesterday as president of the United States, he continued to speak strongly about how much he supported diversity, if not this particular method at the University of Michigan, of enforcing it.
That's true. This is one of the ways that the president has distinguished himself as a skillful politician, is to essentially decide on the right and get governed from the right while offering hope and words of encouragement to those whose sentiments lie elsewhere, those who he has to, in effect, stiff with the kinds of decisions he reaches, in the hopes that he can persuade them that he means it when he says that diversity is important to him, but simply that special favoritism is not the way to achieve it.
Now, when he was governor and this decision came down and he supported the non-affirmative action, you opposed the old plan at the University of Texas, did this cost him politically?
In the state, no. At the time, the perception was, generally speaking, that the governor's action and indeed the court decision was popular. If I remember correctly, polls were in the 70s or 80s in terms of support for the decision in the state. It's a conservative state. Affirmative action had been controversial and perceived to be a federal policy imposed from the top down by many in the state, and so it did not cause him the kind of political damage that it might conceivably cost him at the national level.
Is this, you know, why now? I mean, obviously the case is coming up before the Supreme Court, so that's a timing decision on behalf of the president, and it's not uncommon for the administration to weigh in on cases before the Supreme Court, but isn't this a good time for him to be making this stance?
Well, when you consider that he had, as he saw it anyway, had to take a stand that was going to alienate a constituency whose support he needs for re-election, and I'm speaking now about minority groups, Hispanics and African Americans, better do that early while you have 2 years to recover before the next presidential election than to wait until later, at which time memories of unhappiness over his decision would be fresher and harder to reverse.
Democrats responding to the president, well, it seems like they're doing their own share of politicking here, aren't they?
Most likely they are, sure.
Yeah. Now, some say that this was awfully close in terms of timing to the Trent Lott situation, and that that was a reason they thought maybe the president might decide to stay out of this one.
Well, that was an option. He could have stayed out of it, but I think that, you know, what they had to balance here was a situation in which, in a sense, they were damned if they did and damned if they didn't. And in their calculations, obviously, all of the downside components that you've pointed out, the proximity to Trent Lott, the decision to reappoint Judge Pickering,
mm-hmm.
Renominate Judge Pickering, rather, the need to cultivate minority constituencies, all of the calculations came down on the fact that it's better to take your losses early and to try to make your case early while there's plenty of time to turn around adverse reaction before the election.
And what do you glean from watching the president yesterday and over the course of his term as president so far and earlier when he was governor? What do you glean about how well this fits in with the president's style of politics?
Well, I think it's very much of a piece with a style, a modus operandi, wherein the president puts a centrist rhetorical face on the policies that he espouses, while in fact putting forward policies that very much are conservative Republican policies. You can see this not only in affirmative action, but you can see it in most other areas, education, prescription drugs, any number of areas where the president essentially tries to put a kinder, gentler face and to use soft language to characterize policies that are hard not to perceive as hard right conservative.
We've been having some technical problems with our phones, but they're straightened out now. So let's go to Don, who's on the line with us in Miami.
Hi, I'm an Anglo male, and I weary of politicians and people that pander to the various constituencies, and they don't recognize that affirmative action is probably the best and most viable alternative we have to doing something about unfortunate things that happened in the past that we're not responsible for, but let's not repeat them and let's move on. And affirmative action is a way to get there. I was in a top management position. I worked side by side with minority personnel who were promoted strictly for purposes of satisfying affirmative action goals. I then in turn trained them to do the job based on my experience, and they performed well and moved on and up. And eventually my turn came, and I might have paid some dues, but I gladly did it on behalf of my community and of what I think is important. And I really do feel on both sides of the issues, both the conservatives and the liberals, they take this emotional issue and pander to the emotions, and they don't move us forward. And you really get tired of it after a while.
Hmm. Briefly, Professor Buchanan, what's the change in the racial makeup at the University of Texas since the race-neutral policy that President that then Governor Bush went along with?
Well, shortly after the Hopwood case, applications from minority groups dropped off substantially. Not only in the law school, which was the direct recipient of the decision, but also elsewhere. But since the 10% rule has been put into effect, the numbers have started to climb again and have almost approached, if I remember correctly, the levels prior to Hopwood.
Well, Don, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. And Bruce Buchanan, we appreciate your time.
You bet.
Bruce Buchanan, a professor of government at the University of Texas in Austin. When we come back, we'll begin our conversation on protests. Do you sit them out or march along? It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.